You are listening to the Winning Edge podcast, where each week we have a conversation with a different member of the Winning Edge Business Networking Chapter located in Spring Hill, Florida.
Welcome to this episode of the Winning Edge podcast. I'm your host, Chris Chambers, and today I have the privilege of having a conversation with Mike Scala.
Oh, he's dead sexy. He's a sexy daddy, he is. Oh, yes, he is.
Or Shrek.
Maybe or Shrek, whichever one you want.
I'm not sure. We may have some other guests that drop in as we do this interview today, actually. So I'm looking forward to that. But Mike, this is what we're going to do, man. We want to talk about you a little bit. I want to talk about your family, your hobbies, interests. I want to talk about professionally your career, kind of what that's looked like, how you got involved with BNI and how that has helped your business throughout the years. And we'll do a little back to the basics segment where we kind of talk about really structure and the importance of that structure, keeping it simple, sticking to kind of the plan, the Meisner plan. And then we're going to talk about how we can get you some referrals and what we can be listening for. And then we'll end it up with a rapid fire section. Okay.
Sounds good.
All right, man. So as always, who is Mike Scala?
Well, he's a dark and mysterious FBI agent, but now he, I'm talking about myself in the third person. I like that. Mike likes it when you talk about Mike. Awesome. I'm pretty wrapped up as far as I'm just a big silly guy who loves what I do. I love working with people. I'm married to a wonderful young lady named Dana, who works for none other than the famous Mr. Michael Bonetto. So she works at BB&T. We have three wonderful children, Alex, Naomi, and Jeremiah. So I'm very, very blessed with a really, really wonderful family. We live in Spring Hill, so most of our activities, most of the things we do as far as are usually one, family oriented. I'm definitely a family guy. So we do a lot of different things. We work with a youth group together that all three of my kids are a part of at Grace Bible Church and Christian School, mm-hmm. where my father-in-law is the principal, so that's always a fun one. Kids can't, they have to toe that line when grandpa or poppy is the principal. So that's a fun one there. But I love working with youth is a big one for me. I mean, that's always been a passion of mine. Seeing youth, pulling them in from different areas as far as a lot of times troubled homes, things like that.
Now, as far as the youth goes, you've actually served as a youth pastor, is that right?
That is correct. Yeah, at Grace Bible Church, I was at what was considered an interim youth pastor. So I was kind of the fill-in guy. I still work with the youth. I'm the praise leader for the youth group, and we do a lot of different other mentoring and discipleship things. So,
and aside from those things, what are some other hobbies that you you engage in?
Oh, love to shoot, fish. Weirdly enough, not a hunter. I can shoot targets, but I don't know. I don't have a desire to go kill Bambi's mom. It's cool. I was probably traumatized as a young child. I can see my 5-year-old self crying in the theater. Where'd she go, Mom? I don't understand it. And then, of course, you know your mom never lies to you. She's like, oh, she's dead, son. And you're like, what? So that was,
scarred by Bambi.
I was scarred by Bambi. What a traumatizing thing. People are like, you want to watch Bambi with the kids? No,
no,
I can't.
Please.
I can't do it. I don't want to do that. But no, but we love to, anything outdoors, man, cycling, we go and play racquetball, but we have all kinds of different things, but it's mainly the two I'd probably say is probably shooting and fishing.
Now, is it, I heard a rumor. Okay. That you may or may not have starred in a Christian movie.
I did.
Talk about that.
Actually, yeah, a buddy of mine, LJ, came out with a production called The Dream that is going to be entering into a couple different film festivals. And yeah, he called me and asked me to be a fill-in. I guess one of the actors couldn't fulfill the requirements for the role. So he called me up, and I had the pleasure of working with him on that project, and I think it's going to be a really good one. I think it'll be really, really cool. I know they're doing a debut at either the Gatsby or Dulcet in Newport Richey, so they're going to do a private showing, and then I think they're doing a private showing at Spring Hill 8 here as well.
Now, were you the character type of an actor where you took it home with you? You lived in the character for a long period of time?
No, not really. I mean, the character was a salesperson, so, I mean, it kind of fit the build on that. He's like, hey, we have good chemistry. We've known each other a while. So you play a friend of mine who is also a salesperson. And I said, oh, wow, that's going to be a difficult role to fill. So that was pretty much about it. And I think I'm the only person he knows that owns a suit. So he's like, you have to wear a suit, and I don't have to buy one for you. which was apparently a plus, because plus-size men in suits, apparently very costly, very costly. They're like, that's a lot of fabric.
I can attest. all right, so how about your career? Kind of what does that look like? What have you done? You've done a lot from what I can gather.
Yeah, actually, I started out in sales pretty early in on life. I was 16 years old doing retail, basic retail for the most part. I went into working for L'Exotica early on around 17 years old. Became the youngest store manager in the country at one point for retail sales, and ran the number one store in the country for percentage growth, which was nice for me. I mean, starting out 18 years old and just, I've always loved working with people and just talking to people and getting to know them, and always liked finding out about them to find a need in their life and trying to meet that need. So it just seemed pretty, pretty comfortable. Went from there, did a couple different things. As far as, again, sales jobs, started working at Enterprise about 12 years ago and worked with the wonderful Miss Jody Holly at Mary Kay, where some of us have good genetics. The rest of us use Mary Kay. So, she's fantastic, man. Absolutely awesome young lady. We had a lot of fun working together. And finally, about 2 years ago, my father went into the hospital, and we didn't know what was going to happen with him. And I couldn't pull the 100 hours a week anymore, the 70 to 100 hours a week. I looked at it and said, you know what? It's not worth it at this point. So something in my sales career needs to change. I made the change. I had two friends of mine that were working for T-Mobile at the time. And they said, you know what? It's a great company. They take good care of their people. They take good care of their customers. And we think you would fit the build pretty well. So interviewed for it, and it's been a really, really good fit ever since. So,
and you were mentioning something. We had a one-to-one a couple weeks ago where I brought my son with me. He loves Mr. Mike.
Oh, Seth is a dude. He is so funny. And super shy kid, by the way.
Oh yeah.
Especially if you have a lap.
That's right.
Yeah, he's hey, Mr. Mike. Have you seen this, Mr. Mike?
So anyhow. You were mentioning T-Mobile, I guess, bought up a bunch of bandwidth. Each year, bandwidth is sold or something. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I want to say it's the FCC is the one who regulates it and sells it. But as of last year, T-Mobile, out of all major carriers, purchased 51% of all the bandwidth that was sold, which resulted in our 600 megahertz acquisition, which they're putting into play this year. All that means is the strong network that we have already is now is going to travel four times further. It's going to allow multi-channel downloads, so faster download speeds, faster upload speeds, and you're going to get service in a lot of areas that nobody gets service, which is fantastic.
And T-Mobile went through a leadership change not long ago?
A few years ago, John Ledger came on board. John Ledger's our CEO. He was originally recruited, funny enough, by Apple. So Apple really wanted to get him on board. They saw the potential there. He came on board with us and has been an absolute game changer. And I know we hear that term a lot in most sales industries, but he literally grew the company. Their stocks went up 900% in 2.5 years. Yeah. So his first 6 months on board, he sat in a call center listening to people call and their concerns and what they didn't like about our industry. And that was, I think, a real eye-opener at that point, because he started making some really drastic changes called Uncarrier moves. That's why T-Mobile's called the Uncarrier. We do things a lot differently than most carriers do. So he started making the changes. He was the first one to do away with contracts, first one to do with annual upgrades instead of biannual upgrades. So people showed concern, hey, why do I have to wait 2 years when the next iPhone comes out next week? Yeah. Every year they come out with one. So he made the changes that needed to be made, and he's very, very customer forward. So customer first. His view as far as business goes is business isn't hard. Listen to your customers and give them what they want, which is a nice.
So you've kind of set apart, you know, T-Mobile a bit. What are some other things that set T-Mobile apart from its competitors?
One, our plans themselves, they speak for themselves. We're all inclusive. So taxes, fees, everything's included. There's no gimmicks. There's no games. We're no contract. If you don't like us, go somewhere else. You're more than welcome to. But there's a reason we're acquiring more customers than any other wireless provider out there. So they've made those changes. And pricing in the industry where everything's unlimited. We just want build consistency. His concern was, you sign up for a contract or sign up for service anywhere, and they quote you one price and you get a bill for another. Yeah. And that's just not the way we want to do business.
No hidden fees.
There's no hidden fees, unless you like call like Vietnam or something for an hour. But we go over that. I mean, we're pretty straightforward. The only thing that couldn't incur charges usually is like international calling, things like that. But as far as the bill goes, it's a one fee or a one price structure.
Right. And you mentioned everything is unlimited. That includes calls. That includes data.
That includes calls, data, text. I know a lot of people's concern is a lot of times with when it comes to data is, one, is it truly unlimited? And are they going to slow me down? Which is a big one that we get a lot. And they do what's called deprioritization, which is we have the highest cap out of any provider. You get 50 gigs. After 50 gigs, you are a one percenter at that point as far as data usage.
Oh, really?
Most people use between like 3 and 10 gigs tops.
A month?
A month.
Yeah.
So if you're using in over 50, you are definitely in that 1%. Mm. And at that point, all that means is when the towers get bogged down, if they get bogged down, you get deprioritized. It slows down a little. I use 100 gigs a month. I've never been deprioritized ever. And part of that is because when we built our systems, unlike a lot of our competitors, we built our systems from the ground up designed for unlimited data usage for all of our subscribers, where a lot of them didn't. And that's why you see with a lot of the competitors when they came out with their unlimited plans to try and copy ours, had a lot of issues with their systems shutting down. They were getting overloaded. So we never had that issue just because we built our system from the ground up to sustain those subscribers.
Now, in addition to mobile, cell phones, those kind of things, you also are looking to do a lot with GPS tracking. Is that right?
Yeah, the GPS tracking. We offer what's called a Sync Up and Drive.
Okay.
Our Sync Up program. Really, really innovative. Very, very cool technology. It plugs into the OBD, I think it's called the OBD port, in the vehicles. And what that allows the user to do is not only can they maintain their vehicle, it's going to give them, if the car throws a code, if it needs an oil change, anything like that, if any kind of warning light goes on, not only does it text them, but they can monitor everything, gas consumption, how many times you hit the brakes too hard. It's great if you're a parent and you have a teen driver, because you can set perimeters, and if they go out of that, it lets you know. If someone bumps your car in the parking lot, it lets you know. And it comes with the roadside assistance through Allstate Motor Club courtesy. So it's a really, really cool new piece of tech. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just going to make a lot of people's lives easier, as well as it gives you Wi-Fi in the car. So if you're a parent and you have kids and they want to get on their tablets in the back and you don't have a tablet that is established on its own wireless plan, they'll have the ability. They can go on YouTube. They can do what they want to do.
How about as far as big fleet of vehicles, companies that have a large number of vehicles that they send out on a daily basis?
Absolutely. We actually have a Sync Up fleet, which allows you to work with multiple. One person can monitor multiple different vehicles from the dashboard and get up-to-date monitoring as far as location, the maintenance on the vehicles, things like that. So it allows for companies that have multiple drivers. It's going to allow them to monitor their fleet, and comparative to a lot of different fleet management companies out right now, it's a fraction of the price. So really, really a game changer in that aspect.
I think you mentioned this, just jumping back to the cell for a moment, no contracts.
Yeah, we're no contract.
Across the board.
Across the board. We don't offer a contract, even if you ask for one.
So what if I really want a contract?
Well, then I'm going to send you to somebody else, unfortunately. Then I'm going to drop a piece of paper that says, "We are friends, sign here." It's probably going to be in red crayon because I like red. It's a good color.
Now, is this true that T-Mobile is somewhere between 15 and 30% cheaper than anyone else?
Some of the plans are changing, so the margin does change a little bit. As far as value for what we offer, absolutely. We are the best value out there. Even when people try to mimic our plans, we have some competitors that are mimicking our plans and are, I wouldn't say fairly close on price. I mean, they're still $20 to $30 higher. Plus, they have taxes on top of that, which, again, to me, I mean, we're reshaping the industry. It's all taxes and fees are included, so you know what you're paying.
So how did you get hooked up with BNI?
Actually, Mike Bonetto, a good friend of mine. I've known Mike a lot of years, and I actually called him and let him know my wife was interviewing at the time, and she wasn't my wife at the time. We were just friends. Mm-hmm. But I called him and said, listen, you need to hire this girl. She's fantastic. And he did. So she's been working for him for a few years now. And he said, you know what? You should check it out. Him and actually a former member, Ralph Dana, both invited me. So I went to check it out, and it was unlike anything I'd ever seen as far as networking was concerned.
Yeah.
So, I mean, their structure that was there was unlike anything that I've been to. I mean, I've been to networking events where you hand out a bunch of business cards and you meet and greet and, you know, shake babies and kiss hands, things like that. Lots of fun. Yeah, shake babies and kiss hands. I said that on purpose. Yes.
All right. So how has BNI helped you and your business over the years? How many years, first of all?
I just signed for our third term, actually. Okay. So, yeah, it's actually been fantastic. Last year alone, I probably did 100 activations. Let's just put it this way. As a company, I'm in the top 15% of our salespeople. And I can attribute that 110% to BNI.
Really?
110% to BNI.
Okay.
So the difference in where I would have been to being in that top 15% was provided to me by BNI, which is absolutely incredible. I don't know why a lot more people in my industry don't do it, just because it is. It's fantastic.
And you had mentioned you went to T-Mobile because you were working 70 to 100 hours each week. You had to stop doing that. You needed to take more time for family.
Absolutely. Get some work-life balance.
And T-Mobile has allowed you to do that.
Oh, I get to go to all my kids' volleyball games for the most part, basketball games. I just got done catering my kids' homecoming. They afford me the opportunity to do everything for the most part. I work with a really good staff. I have a really good management team who is, one, very appreciative of the fact that I do outside networking and bring a lot of business into the store. So they definitely work with me in that aspect. But they do. They take care of their people really, really well.
And now I think you just said catering, and that's not going out and purchasing food. That's actually Mike getting into the kitchen and cooking. Is that right?
That's right. Plus size people know how to cook. They say never trust a skinny chef. So
what's your favorite dishes?
Oh, man, I do a modified, it's called Chicken Antonio. It's modified. It's a breaded chicken with a pan-fried prosciutto, butter reduction sauce with fresh basil, goat cheese, and sun-dried tomatoes, which is probably one of my favorites, one of my wife's favorites as well. Homemade manicotti for the Americans, manicotti. We don't say manicotti.
Yeah.
If you said manicotti, you got hit with a wooden spoon.
Okay.
So we didn't do that. Grandma would walk around, she'd chase you with your wooden spoon. How dare you say that, Michael? It's not mozzarella, it's mozzarella.
Is that right? Yeah.
Absolutely. There's no A on that. I don't understand it. So
what are there any ways that BNI over the last 3 years has helped you in ways that maybe you didn't anticipate?
Absolutely. I think it opened my eyes as far as not only what networking is about, but the credibility that I have just as a businessman in general. When you go to a networking event, or if I'm even out and I'm meeting and greeting people and we get into a conversation and someone says, hey, listen, my cousin was just in a car accident, man, really sad thing. Or, hey, can you pray for them? Absolutely. But not only can I meet them in their spiritual needs is that aspect as we pray for one another, but a lot of times, I mean, do they have a chiropractor? Have they talked to anybody about that? Do they need information on that? I mean, we have Queenie in our group, who's fantastic. I mean, the magazine and Lucas over there are fantastic. But I mean, anybody who has a question, I have a book of business now that makes me credible in a way that I've never been credible before. Because, I mean, you meet people along the line, but how many of those people are you going to really refer out and say, listen, I know these people personally.
Yeah.
I know they're held to a stringent code that they need to be doing what's right. And I have that with BNI. I can refer anybody in our group and not worry that it's going to get taken care of.
And that actually leads us into the next section. Let's talk about the, just kind of in our back to the basics segment for this episode. One of the things that you said, and in fact, you were visiting another chapter this morning, is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. Leaders by Design. So good chapter. I mean, not as good as Winning Edge, but let's be real, not many are.
And so you've been around to other chapters. You've seen how other chapters have run this. And you also know, though, the structure that, you know, and the agenda, how it's supposed to be followed. So just talk about that a little bit and how you've seen that play out in different places.
Well, I've seen it play out in different places as far as different marketing groups. I have a friend who's actually trying to establish a marketing group, and we were talking about this yesterday. Was a former member of another BNI chapter, and he tells me that they're going to start a new marketing group that's not going to have any fees. And he's like, dude, it's going to be awesome. We're going to fix all the problems with networking. And the first question I said is, you're going to have no fees? And he goes, no, no fees. I go, well, what's their buy-in? Why are they bought in? Why are they? They're not vested at that point. I go, the one thing with BNI was, when I first came, was the structure is what sold me on it.
Yeah.
Not only do they have an actual structure, an actual game plan together, but there's accountability. And that, to me, was a huge piece of it. Because, I mean, you can go out and hand out 1,000 business cards, but there's no accountability there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I can have people say, hey, listen, I'm going to refer to you, but there's no accountability. And BNI, I see the structure continually, and I see people that modify it. And sometimes I think it's not necessarily a bad thing, but a lot of times, I mean, it's just we need to stick to the basics. So many times we try and modify things, but a lot of times if we keep it simple, there's a structure that's put out in front of us that they've proven, hey, this works. Do this, and it's going to work for you.
Yeah.
And so many times we go, we have a better idea. And a lot of times, and I'm not saying we don't, but a lot of times we lose sight of, well, we're going to do this, and we're going to fix fees, or we're going to fix this. And a lot of times it backfires. Well, why? Because there's a reason it's structured. Yeah. It's a reason BNI is the size it is.
Yeah.
All these little, these new ones are coming up saying, we're going to fix it, we're going to make it better. But there's a reason BNI is the size that it is it works.
Yeah. Over 8,000 chapters throughout the world.
And I mean, billions of dollars passed. Yeah. Billions, not millions. Billions of dollars passed. You visit these groups, including ours. I mean, you hear numbers like $2.8 million passed. I mean, you hear some of these people making $40,000 in a single thank you for closed business and going, how would that impact my business if that happened?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you just don't see that anywhere else. Mm-hmm. And not only that, but if I was going to a chapter which nobody I knew was vested into it, how am I going to refer? What are their checks and balances? I mean, that's a big thing. I mean, I'm on the leadership committee for leadership support, and I'm actually a check mark in a lot of the people's passports for the attendance one. Like, if you're not going to monitor attendance, if you don't have to be there, if there's no structure that you have to be there and you have to be visible and present, then what good are you going to do there? And that's something that I think. So many times we look and go, well, is it really that important? I can send somebody else. I don't feel like going this week. It's early. But what kind of negative impact is that going to have on your business? Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. No, it's I've only been in since October, so the last several months.
And won many awards, might I add. Many awards.
Well, I've,
superstar you are.
I've definitely enjoyed it. Definitely enjoyed getting to meet individuals.
Like myself.
Yeah, absolutely. Experts in their field, man. I learn something new every time I have these, the one-to-ones. And so I've definitely enjoyed it. But aside from that, like you said, it gives you credibility as a professional because you have other professionals
absolutely.
That you can send your clients to help them out. So it's huge, man.
It is. Absolutely. It's huge.
So what I want to do, I want to ask you specifically, what are some referrals that we could send your way? So we have, whether it be clients, customers, friends, family members, who is it that we can be looking to send Mike Scowl's way?
I have a couple different ones that are big for me. One is going to be companies that have more than 2 to 3 drivers that are currently paying somebody to maintain their fleet, mm-hmm. as far as monitoring, things like that. That's a big one for us because one, we're new to that industry, but the product that we offer I think is superior in a lot of ways.
Okay.
Especially in price and when it comes to business. I mean, you definitely want to look at your bottom line, what you're putting out to what you're getting back, and I definitely think in that aspect, T-Mobile's really got it locked down on a really really good product.
So fleet management's one. What else?
Fleet management's one. The 55 plus community is big for me. I really that one I have a heart for. That's one for me.
Talk about that. Why,
specifically.
Why is that?
Because I get these, a lot of times these little old ladies are coming, they're like, I don't know how to use my cell phone. It doesn't work. It has a little flippy thingy and I keep hitting the red button and it doesn't work. And a lot of times someone's never taken the time to show them how to properly use one, their device. I had this little old lady come in, Let's
call her Mabel.
Hello, this is Mabel. How may I help you? And Mabel, we'll call her Mabel. Mabel came up to me probably about a month ago, stumbled into my office. She was very, very distraught. She was waiting for the bus for her local, she, I guess, is in an assisted living facility. Thought she knew the number, didn't know the number. So we Googled the number. I called her assisted living facility. She was very, very distraught. And I always look at it and go, listen, man, one, God rest my grandparents, are all gone. But if that was one of my grandparents, how would I want someone to treat them?
Yeah.
And here's this little old lady. She's distraught. She doesn't know what's going on. She's nervous. And she's just trying to get back to where she wants to go. It needs to go. And so we called the assisted living facility. They gave us directions as far as what she needed to do. The bus schedule, I told her exactly where it was. She had a little bit of time. So we sat and we put some of the numbers. I said, do you have numbers that you're trying to call, like that are people that you need to be able to get in touch with? And she had three daughters. And so we took the time to put those numbers in a speed dial, show her how to use a speed dial. And she wasn't even a T-Mobile customer. I mean, we just, we have one, we have really, really good plans for 55 plus and up. It's one line, $50 with auto pay, two lines, $60, and that is unlimited everything. So
for the little old meeble grandmother, you know, that has the new iPhone, who wants to use unlimited data,
they can come in and use it as much as they really want to. But it's so many of them want to get into that tech because their grandkids, oh, grandma, I want to FaceTime you. I want to, it would be great to see them. Mm-hmm. When they have family that lives all over the country.
Yeah.
And they don't know how to use that technology. Mm-hmm. And one, a lot of them are afraid to ask. They are from a very, very proud generation, absolutely hardworking. Really, I think, set the grounds for, I mean, what we should all strive for as far as how we want to live our lives. But a lot of times they are scared to ask those questions and technology frightens them and they just don't know what to do. So when they see that, hey, listen, we'll take the time, we'll come on a Wednesday morning when we're free or we're dead a little bit and you can make an appointment and we'll sit down for 30 minutes. You can grab a cup of coffee. We'll sit and we'll show you how to use your devices the way you want to learn how to use them so you can stay in contact with your family and your friends and feel comfortable using them, which is a big thing.
Now, you had mentioned last week that T-Mobile is moving to what you call a hinge-free zone,
Oh, yeah, hashtag hinge-free 2018. Anybody with a flip phone, if your phone has a hinge, we can fix that. And not with super glue, not with a nail gun. We'll help you, we'll help you learn how to use your new smartphone. A lot of these new smartphones anyways have what's called easy mode, which just formats things in a very, very easy to use way. But a lot of people who have been using these phones for, I don't know, 10, 15 years, get so used to going through the different menu prompts and don't realize that a lot of times these smartphones are substantially easier.
Yeah.
For visual learners like myself, horrible at Simon Says. Because when they say, hey, listen, touch your nose and they touch your elbow, dude, I'm the first person with my finger touching my elbow. Because listen, right. I'm a visual learner. That's right, how I work. Right. And I get that. So it's something that we can do. We can take the time out and we'll sit and teach them how to use their devices. But yeah, help them make that jump. So hashtag hinge-free 2018, patented by Michael Scala.
Now, what I wanted to do? Well, how can folks get a hold of you first of all?
Oh, easiest way is through my personal cell phone number. I give my personal cell phone out to every single one of my customers or clients. 352-515-3940. Call me, text me. If you want to email me, it's michael.scala, S-C-A-L-A, at t-mobile.com. And they can get a hold of me either or. Usually calling or texting is preferred just because I like that personal interaction. I mean, it's hard a lot of times when someone sends you even a text message a lot of time to decipher what they're going for. A lot of times it gets confusing. So
if they want to just come in and drop into your store, see where you're located.
We're located at 9409 U.S. Highway 19. Suite 483. So we're right inside where the Harold Seltzer's is. We are the first unit on the right when you walk in those doors.
Okay.
We're soon actually to be located. We actually will be in a freestanding building as of next month.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we're moving right outside the mall. We're going to be accompanied by two business partners as well on either side of businesses that I don't know if they're allowed to be known. One rhymes with Schmarbucks, which will be on the right side. And the other one is Sleep by Mumber. So those are the two businesses that we will be in between. So if you see one of those while you're getting your coffee or taking a nap, you can, you know, when you wake up and feel refreshed, go get your coffee, come in, and we'll teach you how to use your phone.
Well, I love impersonations, and you can do a few of them. So what I thought is you can jump around. We're going to do the rapid fire.
And answer them in the form of my favorite character.
Is that all right? Is that all right?
Sure, buddy. Absolutely.
All right. So we got some serious questions.
There are no serious questions.
And we're going to do an impersonations. All right, here we go. What is the best book, it could be business, networking, or otherwise, that you have ever read?
That would be Integrity Selling for the 21st Century. How to Sell to the Way That People Want to Buy by Ron Willingham. It is a very, very good book.
Ron Willingham. All right.
Ron Willingham. That is with two L's and two I's.
All right. And the next question is, what is the most important networking trait in your opinion?
I would say that would be morality. Absolutely. Freaky dicky ditch. Quite pleasant, really. The doctor need the info. If you don't have morality, you got nothing, because people don't want to buy into who you are.
So they won't trust you.
They won't trust you, whether you're evil, semi-evil, quasi-evil, the Diet Coke of evil. Not one calorie, just not evil enough. It doesn't matter. They won't buy into who you are because they don't trust you. There's no love.
Okay. What is one networking secret maybe that you wish you had known sooner?
Oh, I wish I would have started a long time ago when I was, you know, just a wee little tyke, you know, somewhere between 200 and 400 pounds earlier. It would have been great. I would have been, listen, I'm a big, big, beautiful man, I am. I'm just saying. But I wish I would have started a lot longer. It'd be great.
All right. What's a business tip? I believe you said you grew up with your dad, and then he gave you some tips early on.
This one I'm going to be a little more serious on, because okay. I really do. My dad was a really big influence in how I conduct myself in everything I do.
Yep.
I know there was a point in my life from like 18 to like 22, I thought my dad was completely clueless. I'm like, no, Dad, you don't know what you're talking about. But I remember as a kid looking back, and my dad was a mechanic, or is a mechanic still, one of the best by far. And I remember him going to single mothers' houses after work and fixing their cars because they couldn't afford to bring their cars into the shop. And he would fix them for free. And just trying to help people. And that has always stuck out in my mind. My dad has always, if you have the ability to help somebody, regardless, do it.
Yeah.
And that has always been kind of a mantra that I live my life by. And I try and instill that in my kids as well. I mean, a lot of times we go, well, I don't like that person, or I don't know them, or it's uncomfortable. But if you have the opportunity to help somebody in any way, shape, or form, and it is within your power, you need to do it. Mm-hmm. And I thank him for that. He instilled in me work ethic as a young age. He didn't just hand me things, which we live in a society that does, unfortunately, a lot of times. And there's nothing wrong with blessing your children. I try and give my kids more than I had, and my dad gave me more than he had. Mm-hmm. But so many times we don't instill the work ethic or what goes into getting that. This is a privilege. This is a blessing that you have this. Do you know what it takes to get this? And I think that's something that I'm trying to instill in my children as well, and let them know, hey, listen, you know what? Things don't just grow on trees. You got to go out and you got to work for it. Yeah. And, he's always instilled that in me. So, I mean, I never took a lot of stuff for granted. We weren't a very wealthy family by any means. So we had to work early on. And I think I'm better because of it. Yeah. So,
and then finally, last, what is the most profound piece of advice that you've ever been given?
Profound piece of advice. I think Ricky Bobby said it the best.
All right.
If you're not first, you're last. Richard Roberts. I think he sounds a lot classier as Richard Roberts, by the way, than Ricky Bobby.
Yeah. Because
you hear Ricky Bobby and all you're thinking is Old Spice and Wonder Bread. But no, absolutely. Kind of like a George W. Bush thing we had going there for a second. I was like, I'm going to confusicate the people. It's going to be great. It's fantastic. Absolutely.
I tell you what, one more thing. Give us the donkey.
Oh, we're going to be like that, Rick. Oh, he really Hercules, 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 my baby got gas. Oh, Sherman, Cletus, oh, you just thought, I'm going to throw this through the crack of your behind, Cletus. Come on over, you walk over, but you limp back.
Well, Mike.
That was like two or three like mixed into each other.
That's great.
Oh, it was good.
That's great. So thank you so much for joining us this episode of the Winning Edge podcast. All right, Mike, one more thing that we wanted to mention, the Hope Ranch Learning Academy. You got an event coming up, is that right?
Yeah, they're going to be doing a barbecue fundraiser for school safety awareness. With all the school shootings, in the wake of all the school shootings that have happened, they're looking to just improve upon the safety of their campuses, door reinforcements. They had some really cool ideas as far as for, they had some armored backpacks, bulletproof backpacks that had slips in them, just to keep the kids a little bit safer. So they are trying to raise money for that. They are a 501c, so they are a non-for-profit organization. They're a Christian school that helps kids with learning disabilities, autism, things like that. But they are trying to just make their campus is a lot safer, which, I mean, these are our kids. We definitely want them to have the freedom to go to school and not worry about these things. So anything we can do to make our community safer, I'm definitely for it. So,
and you can go to hopeyouthranch.org to check that out, right?
Yeah, it's going to be on Saturday, April 4th, 2018.
April 14th?
April 14th, yes. Okay. What did I say, 4th?
That's right.
Yeah, it's okay. But yeah, admission starts at 10 a.m. It's off of East Road at 17933 East Road, Hudson, Florida, 34667. They're going to have some barbecue out there. We are looking for co-op sponsors, so sponsorship for that for businesses. It is a tax write-off. We're looking at roughly about $1,000 per business if they would. More is, of course, definitely we're welcomed. So they're trying to raise between $65,000 and $100,000. They have three campuses, two on the Hudson side of Spring Hill, or the Pasco side, I should say, of Spring Hill, and then one in Zephyr Hills. But they are looking to keep their campuses a lot safer. They're going to start doing some really innovative things to just keep our kids safe.
And if you're interested in partnering up with Hope Ranch Learning Academy, you can give them a call, 727-232-0119. You can also send an email to Jay Suarez, that's J-S-U-A-R-E-Z, at hopeyouthranch.org. All right, Mike, thanks so much.
Thank you very much, sir. I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to the Winning Edge podcast. Please be sure to check out the show notes for contact information for each of our guests, links to their websites, and links to more information about the topics discussed in this episode. Until next week, happy networking!